Good morning. It's Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. I want to begin by reading a verse we read last week, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We discussed how wisdom is the first fruit of the fear of the Lord, which is the first fruit of the knowledge of God. The primitive root word for get means to acquire, to buy, or possess. So get wisdom means that in our hearts we are all in. We're all in, and we utilize every skill and every discipline that we have to acquire this wisdom of God. It's descriptive of the quality of our getting hearts. This does not describe an all-out fanatical endeavor. You know, it's not a frantic or frenzied process. It's not quitting our jobs. It's not absolving ourselves from our responsibilities in life so we can just go in a room and close the doors and increase in our knowledge of God. You know, with all our getting, it is a resolute attitude of heart to love God and keep His commandments, to look to Him for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And at the very beginning this year, we looked at the purpose of God's wisdom, which again is for the believing body of Christ to make known God's manifold wisdom to the evil spirit realm. You know, we don't set out to do that. We just wake up in the morning with the Word of God in our hearts, and up comes a fiery dart, or up comes a temptation, and that manifold wisdom of God is right there in the face of the evil spirit realm. So, making known God's manifold wisdom, it's not in the sense of flaunting or showing off before the devil spirits, but it is in our standing firm in our absolute confidence in our Father, absolute trust in God. And also, we have considered how the fear of the Lord is the first fruits of our knowledge of God's Word. But I do want to point out this one thing. It doesn't have to necessarily be a lot of knowledge, but it does have to be knowledge that moves your heart to seek God. Everybody's need is a little different. So whatever your heart needs to know about God, that's what's going to prick your heart, so to speak, or get your attention. Valeri has shared this before, but I think of him growing up in the Roman Catholic Church. And at that time, of course, the services were in Latin, with only a short reading from the Gospels that would be in English each week. And he recalls that when he would hear the gospel scriptures about Jesus, when he would listen to that reading, his heart would just long to know more. So there he was, a young boy sitting on those pews. He fell in love with Jesus during those few moments that they read in English from the gospels. It's just really something. And really similarly for me as a young child attending vacation Bible schools in the summer. At a nearby church, we would sing all the little children's songs about Jesus. And I clearly remember the little fellowship leader singing with us, leading us in Jesus Loves Me. For that, it sealed the deal in my heart. That love of God through Christ. You know, the fear of the Lord, simply stated, comes as a result of hearing about Him in a way that deeply impresses upon our hearts. So, even if the knowledge is but a fragment at the beginning, it comes to life in our hearts when a portion of that truth pricks our hearts, kind of like it was on the day of Pentecost, perhaps. During the gathering on that day, as recorded in Acts 2, Peter stood up, he delivered a sermon, and it was passionate, to say the least. He did cover many things, absolutely. The crowd's response to Peter and the apostles was, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You know, that word of God, it made an impact. And all of this impact happens in the hearts of people. So it only needs a moment of time. It's in the recognition of our thoughts and our saying what the word says. Our wonderful hearts are the focus of our Lord God. What is going on in our hearts? That's His interest. If good things are happening in our hearts, then good things will come forth from that goodness. And it's true, God sees it all. He sees what we do, but He's attentive to our motives. He knows all our thoughts, and He knows all the thoughts behind all those thoughts. He knows how we arrive at what we've finally decided that we're going to think. You know, there's no fooling Him. So our self-justifications for our weakness, our perceived inabilities, our fears, our apprehensions, they all succumb to the genuine fear of the Lord, where God is our all in all. So today we're going to begin with part one, looking at the attributes of the wisdom of God. There are many, so it is going to take more than one small piece of time to really get our arms around the attributes of God's wisdom. But knowing the characteristics, the traits, the various aspects, knowing those things can increase our spiritual appetite for getting wisdom, and with all our getting understanding, where we love the Word, where we love Jehovah. And in looking at the characteristics, the traits, the aspects of the manifold wisdom of God, as I said, our appetites for the things of God can certainly increase. Our appetite for knowledge, for wisdom and understanding can be stimulated, and God promises that it can be satiated. He will lay out the buffet in our hearts. In Proverbs 2:1, and this is going to be in the New King James today, this Proverbs chapter 2. So in verse 1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you." Well, this word "receive" in verse 1, it is profound, and here's why. In the Hebrew, "receive" means to take, to get, to fetch, to lay hold of, to seize, to acquire, to marry, or to take a wife. I love this mind picture of seizing the words of God, as in taking on a lifelong companion. Because in the marriage relationship, the man and the woman are to leave their father and their mother, and they're to cleave together, and they're to become one flesh. So in this, you know, what a lovely and tender illustration to be at one with God's word. Well, we certainly have read about the life of our Lord Jesus, who was at one with God's word. Shouldn't we learn to treasure God's instructions within ourselves? It is so valuable to us that we hide it away in the secret place of our hearts, and nothing touches it. Absolutely. Verse 2. "So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." With His words as the treasure in our hearts, we will be attentive. We will be listening. we're not spinning our wheels, checking all the boxes on being good people. You know, when the goodness springs from the heart, there are no boxes. There are no boundaries. Being heirs of salvation, we are already outside the box. You know, for us, it's like, what box? You know, we're not captivated in a box. No. So often we mention our hearts before God as being opposed to checking the religious boxes. And the reason we mention it so often is because it's an important point of distinction. Confusing living uprightly with man-made interpretations of what we should and what we should not do to be holy will not yield a life of fellowship with God. Actually, it will become a life overflowing with fear, because we will be living to please men who can never be pleased. That's just the nature of humankind. They will always find something unpleasing. People prescribe behaviors that cause superficial veneers. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't want a superficial veneer. Christ called them whited sepulchers. Christ called them washing the outside of the cup and leaving the inside dirty. Sure. And in the last half of this verse too, the Hebrew word for apply and apply your heart to understanding, this word apply offers an interesting flavoring. It signifies stretching out, extending, inclining, bending, or bowing. And when you put those synonyms next to the word heart, it really gives the heart a characteristic of it being outstretched, extended, bending, and bowing in humbleness to the absolute greatness of our loving God. The heart is the home for godly humility. Again, it's not in the outward physical characteristics of how we may look, but it hinges on the reality of who we are in our hearts. You know, we're not going to dream up understanding. It is God who gives it. God's word as the treasure in the secret place of our heart, our godly humility, our submissiveness to His manner and His will, then His wisdom and understanding will be that supernatural outflow of the heart. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Well, discernment and understanding in verse 3. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, they both reference the act or process of understanding, which is the object of our knowledge. We don't want to know just to know. No, we want to know so we attain wisdom. So we get, with all our getting, understanding. And there's no other place to go for an understanding heart, for knowledge, for wisdom. And then that verse 4, what beautiful words to describe the delight of a heart to get wisdom and get understanding. It said, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. And really, the best fundamental tools for seeking and searching would just have to be prayer and worship. What a great foundation for lining up our day to seek wisdom as silver, to search for wisdom as a hidden treasure. And when this is your delight, when this is the delight of your heart, verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So having the fear of the Lord and understanding the fear of the Lord, having the fear of the Lord came from that little bit of knowledge that spoke to your heart and got you up and running. But then understanding the fear of the Lord, that is a growing process. And it says we will find the knowledge of God. Then, so through these, we'll review these past few verses. Through receiving the words of God, through counting them as a sacred treasure in the secret hiding place within our hearts, listening to the wisdom of God with a humble heart to understand, crying out to God for discernment, like we read of King Solomon in his early days, and acknowledging that understanding comes from God alone, seeking wisdom with the tenacity of one that might be seeking the wealth from silver, and searching for those treasures that are hidden in God, in Christ, in us. Then we will come to understand in increasing depth the fear of the Lord, and we will acquire wisdom and understanding from God, who gives it, which continue to unfold over the entire course of our lives. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So it is God alone who grants wisdom. From Him come spiritual skill, dexterity, and functioning understanding and insight. In verse 7, we begin to see what wisdom brings to us as individual seekers and searchers. We're going to see the attributes, a few today, and then continuing into part 2 of this. We'll see the attributes, the characteristic and traits, which were all part of the wisdom of God. And it's an effort to build our hunger, to build our expectations, to excite our appetite in a godly direction. So sound wisdom, He stores up sound wisdom in verse 7. For the upright, He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. So sound wisdom is stored up as a secret treasure. And that means it's hidden away from discovery. And it is at work in our lives in so many ways. But yet, it is hidden away from discovery because, you want to know why? Because God wanted it hidden away from discovery. There are many scriptures that warn us about the evil spirit realm and how they work to just set that perfect trap for the upright of heart. But we can trust this sound wisdom that is stored up and hidden away from discovery to always be out ahead of the spirit realm. And I think that's why it's hidden away from discovery. God has stored it up, and the devil should not gain access. He does not give the devil access to that. It's not something that the devil should be able to hack into. He'll never outsmart Jehovah. So the wisdom of God is our provision. It is our way to escape. The devil can never anticipate how it will work on our behalf because it is hidden away from discovery. God's wisdom, then, is a shield for those who love Him. Reason enough right there to get or to marry wisdom. And with all our getting, get or become one with, become one flesh, so to speak, with understanding. In verse 8, He guards the path of the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. And although intangible in the senses world, we can come to understand and comprehend the spiritual realities that we read about. They're never going to be understood in the senses realm, no. But as we grow, as we develop, as we get the wisdom, get the understanding, these spiritual realities are very concrete in our thinking and in our hearts. Even though you can't look and say, oh, there's wisdom. Look how tangible that is. It's just not. And it's going to confound the world because it cannot be discovered. It's hidden from discovery. The man of no understanding will never conceptualize wisdom, understanding. You've got to love the message in verse 10 and 11, and this is just beautiful. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. What lovely promises. But just these words alone, when you read these verses, they flow. Their meaning is so lovely. It's so pleasing. They are just words that you would want to welcome into your heart. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. How comforting. And when this wisdom enters our heart and the knowledge of God delights our souls, let's look at this verse 11 again. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Now, discretion means counsel. Counsel can be in the form of prudence, or in a bad sense, it can mean devising snares and malice. And as mentioned earlier, the devil's craftiness to devise snares and evil against us is no match for the wise counsel we have living within us and ready to do its work. The discretion in verse 11 is in the sense of being wise as a serpent while behaving ourselves harmless as doves. You know, we don't devise snares against the devil. We know that he hates us. We know that he would love to strike every Christian believer dead in a moment. We don't devise evil against him, nor does the God of love and light. We don't sit around and plan how to outsmart the devil. No, we sit building our trust, bringing our hearts, purifying our hearts with the word. You know, the truth is the devil will devour himself. Evil will eat, and devour itself. So, when wisdom is in our hearts and knowledge is pleasant to our souls, the counsel of the Lord and understanding will always be there to preserve and to help. So, this is going to conclude part one. And next session, we will continue with the attributes of the wisdom of God, part two. Love to you all and God's blessings.